Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63 here with Buck and Lou. It is season 4, episode 11. I wish I just got back from the Bahamas. I have unfortunately been in frigid northern temperatures, but we do have some games to talk about. We do have a win to talk about, which is great. And two super fun competitive games against now ranked teams after this last week. We got to talk a little bit about how each of the players did. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think each player kind of had their own little growth pattern throughout the tournament, some better than others, some not as great. And then just kind of the overall, like, feel of the tournament. Like, was this what we were expecting? Was this how did we enjoy the results? We enjoy just watching the games, which I think is pivotal. You know, at the end of the day, this is an entertainment, you know, sport. So talk about that a little bit. But Lou, how was your Thanksgiving break? What was the favorite thing that you ate this past Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I would say the favorite thing I ate was Arizona State basketball. That was really nice. Favorite thing I ate was a smoked turkey. The people I had Thanksgiving with, they smoked their turkey. Really interesting there. But it was a good time, and thankful to be able to talk about Loyola basketball.
Nice. Yeah, I'm more of a stuffing guy myself, so I had some pretty quality stuffing. And cranberry sauce, which was new to my Thanksgiving, like, dinner meal last year. And I just have to say, day after, turkey sandwich with some mayo and some cranberries on top. Ooh, so good. Anyway.
I just need to confirm, you said last year was the first time ever you had cranberry at Thanksgiving?
Yes, I know. I know, it's crazy. Nope, my dad loves cranberries, but my mom doesn't. And so my mom's the cook, so we didn't have cranberries at Thanksgiving because my dad's not cooking anytime soon.
Okay.
But anyway, enough food. We could do a whole podcast on food. I think there's...
We did last year, so yes.
That's true. Not this year. This year we got some basketball to talk about. So we're going to go to break here, and then when we come back, we will be talking all about the Bahamas, our Blurs, and how their Thanksgivings went. So stay tuned, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets the score. It's over. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So, starting out here, how we're going to do this is we're just going to kind of go quickly through these games, just kind of our initial reactions, anything that stuck out to us, how we enjoyed, quote unquote, enjoyed watching them. And then after that, we're going to actually talk about each player in these tournaments and kind of give them a grade on how they did for the three games. And just talk about, like, expectations for them, how, you know, that is a basis of their grade, of how they were doing before and how they did during these 3 days. Just talk about how big of an impact they had on the team. So first game, Wednesday morning, we took on Michigan State, and there's a lot of buildup for this game. Obviously, lots of history. You know, Drew Valentine was a GA for him, for Tom Izzo and his brother. You know, the Valentine family is, like, they're legends at Michigan State. Both Carlton, his dad, and Denzel, just excellent basketball players at Michigan State. Kind of funny. One of the things I did enjoy was seeing the whole Valentine family wearing nothing but Loyola gear during this game in the stands, which was funny and cool. The final score was 63-61. Michigan State won. Overall, I really thought the game was great. There's obviously things I can nitpick and will, but, entertaining, back and forth, big shots, pretty good defense most of the time, from both sides, really. And it was just exciting. It was an exciting basketball game. The only way it could have been better is if that buzzer beater would have fallen at the end for Braden, the half court three. I really Like, you know, we had some of those just excellent shots in our tournament runs, and that would have been kind of the only thing to make it a lot better. So personally, I enjoyed watching it. I tip my hat to Michigan State and especially Malik Hall, man. That dude played out of his mind. Lou, why don't you just kind of give your initial reaction to the game and what you thought about it.
Yeah, so I'll just be right off the bat going to be a little blunt here with the whole tournament. Is I would really like for any other tournament or any other kind of games we play big time that announcers and play-by-play know some Loyola stats, such as Marquise Kennedy was not Sixth Man of the Year last year or also how to pronounce his name. Cameron Krutwig, love him to death, was not a three-point sniper. Just simple things if you happen to be a fan of Loyola basketball or even cared to do some research. That kind of stuck with me throughout the three games. But the main highlight of this game was, I think, big thing around us was forcing turnovers on their end, but we lacked turning those turnovers into points and vice versa, also giving up the ball ourselves. I think it was, as the announcers like to say, Drew Valentine, alum of Michigan State, cool. Like to talk about him as our coach, not about potentially being the Michigan State next head coach. But it was overall just a great game, especially a game to start off a tournament like this. Like, let's be honest. Yeah, we are the Fort Myers tip off. We've been at the Paradise Jam. But this battle for Atlantis, this is like this and the Maui tournament are the Invitational. Those are the tournaments those big-time programs go to, right? Like, if we get invited to this, then it's like, hey, this is a step up. And I know if you look at it, people are like, well, we were the team that everyone gets a win off of, right? Well, we won a game, right? And I think we played a great game. And then the second game, I think we just kind of fell back a little bit. But overall, the Michigan State game, Malik Hall, like you said, you got to tip your cap. Man was perfect from field goal, from free throw. Really just didn't give it up. And, yeah, that last play hurt, but come on. Their last play hurt, but that was a great draw. Tom Izzo knew how to draw it up. He's been a coach for how many years? So you can't really fault him on that. We played as much defense as we could all the game, and we just lost on a great play by a great coach. So that's tough, but I think it was a great way to start the week. But we'll talk more about the rest of the games later on. But interesting way to start the week, definitely. But just to be honest with you, this whole early morning games, the day before Thanksgiving, made me crazy. Shopping for Thanksgiving, getting lunch and everything, and trying to get back to this game. God bless virtual LTE so I can watch it on my phone and then get back to it. So, yes.
And just kind of piggybacking off of your thought about, like, just overall. Also, can we get some, like, people to mop the floors? Because I have never seen more people flying around, sliding around. Like, not even like, crazy effort plays either. Just kind of, like, dodging screens, closing out on three-point shots. People were sliding both sides, all teams, like, and unfortunately, it always just feels like it hurts us more because that's the sort of game we need to play in order to win in these big games. But yeah, man, like, Marcus Kennedy, really? Like, it literally sounds exactly how it's spelled. Like, oh my gosh. And just like, yeah, the lack of knowledge. It's sure, you're right. Cool. Talk about Drew Valentine. He's an awesome dude. It's a great storyline. But, like, our team has so many awesome storylines besides that. They said at one point Lucas Williamson was the only player from the Final Four. Yes, the only, like, actual player who played minutes. But I hear Ubuak was redshirting that year. Like, he's been with the team, like, just as long, or almost as long as Lucas has. Like, there's some very important details that they just, like, missed out. It was frustrating. And I understand, Lou, that you and I, we know, like, I would say, I don't know, 95% more, or we know more than 95% of the average fans. But, like, some of these things, like, it's just, you talk about, like, our two Ivy League transfers. Talk about, like, Marquise Kennedy being from the city of Chicago. Like, Brother Rice. Brother Rice is such a big name in the city of Chicago. Ugh, it's just like, I don't know. You're right.
The one thing I'll say is I love the two guys, but I'm kind of happy we didn't have Ben Richardson and Clayton Custer on the team, because I think half the game would have been talking about, or half the tournament would have been talking about how they went to high school together.
Did you know that Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson went to high school together?
Yeah, I know that. That's the first time I've heard that. Yeah. Thank you.
Super new fact. Yeah, unfortunately, we did drop this one. We'll talk more about it when we talk about each individual player. Overall, I thought it was a very entertaining game, very fun, but just unfortunately could not hit a shot right at the end. Next game, moving on from there, against Auburn, coming off of our loss against Michigan State was just the next day. Auburn was coming off a double overtime loss to University of Connecticut. So, I mean, like, going in, like, I thought, you know, oh, we got a good chance, right? Like, they're going to have tired legs. They had some guys that had played nearly 40 minutes in the previous game. They didn't have a super deep bench from what I could tell. It seemed like the rotation was 7 guys. But they do have I didn't even know this, to be honest, when we were looking up before. Jabari Smith, who is a top 5 pick in the NBA draft this summer, or most likely going to be a top 5 pick in the NBA draft this year. One of the guys I did talk a little bit about was Wendell Green Jr., who hit some pretty dagger threes for them. One of them in which I was screaming at the TV to go guard him, and unfortunately they could not hear me screaming through the TV. On our side of the ball, you know, we were coming off that heartbreaking loss, and some guys I think really struggled in this game, both offensively, turnovers. Some of the guys, some of our, like, especially Ugwak, and I thought Huddy at times really struggled to find shots, like any shots, just in general, turn the ball over. I mean, Ugwak had 4 turnovers, Lucas had 5 turnovers. Which was really tough, but just overall, I thought we were in it for 32, 34 minutes of the game. Like, it was pretty close. Ultimately, I think we just couldn't make shots when it came down to it. I thought, it was a little tough. The refereeing was not my favorite, but I don't think that's why we lost the game. Unfortunately, we just couldn't hit shots when it came down to it. We were 7-23 from 3. And I would say that 5 or 6, if not more, of those shots were ones with, like, open looks, ones we usually hit and knock down. And it was guys who may have made them in the past. Schwieger was 0-2. Keith was 1-5. And Braden and Lucas, Braden was 3-7. Lucas was 1-4. So, and I don't think Braden hit one in the second half. And free throws. I mean, again, this isn't why we lost, but all these things add up. You know, from free throw, we were 4-9. We should have tried to get to the line more. So, all in all, it was an entertaining game. We were in it for a while, and then it just came down to it, and Jabari Smith was just doing these turnaround mid-range jump shots that no one can defend. He's 6'10". Like, the only person who can defend him is an NBA player. So, it was a tough game. It was entertaining, I just wish we would have hit some more shots when it came down to it. But Lou, what was your take from the Auburn game, the second game at Battle for Atlantis?
Yeah, so I'd say easily the biggest thing was nearly kind of just a little sloppy play. We had either equal to or maybe more turnovers in the Michigan State game. But it was just like Lucas had 5 turnovers, Ahir had 4. It was just like kind of a weird vibe I kind of just felt. And then the main of it really was the big thing for me was I just don't think we really guarded or even bodied Kessler quite well. Like, I was fine with Jabari Smith because, like, man, 5-star recruit, like I said in last week's podcast. I think we did great with KD Johnson. KD Johnson went off on the UConn game, and then we held him pretty well. But then you had, like, Wendell Green step up. But I really think Kessler was the big thing. Now, I don't mind the blocks at all, right? Don't mind guys getting blocked at all. But it's just, like, it really that you would think they would use maybe the other side of the rim and not try to dunk. Or, like, also then don't be afraid to go back up. Like, stuff like that. So there were just little things. I think the biggest thing, though, was something you hinted on is we only made 4 free throws and we only got to the free throw line a handful of times, right? While that's kind of, I think, a big part of what we do this year is that, no, we get to the line. That's our goal. We, let alone in the Michigan State game, we made 10 of 14 free throws. So we made more than we even got to attempt in the Michigan State game versus the Auburn game. So stuff like that, I really think it was just like we were trying to shoot our way out of it, and I get it, like, shooting is something we're good at. But I think some of these guys are better off driving when it's not their day or something like that. Like, that's my thinking as well. I've said it before last year, maybe the year before.
I love when Lucas Williamson drives more than anything, because I think he's such a smart, kind of not even ball handler, but to the rim guy, or even reverse it. I think he can really draw the foul well. Yes, he's got a nice wide open three. Definitely have no problem with that. I just think it was just a tough field goal night. And just tough to see so many threes be chucked up, and we just didn't really come out with it. So stuff like that. Again, Marquise had a decent game, which I think was a weird gem to even think of a gem out of a loss like this. But 6 of 8 from the field goal, 1 of 2 from three with 13 points, again, led the way there. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this is something I'll talk about when we get to the grades, but with Braden putting up 10 as well. But I'll get to that and later on. But an interesting game, kind of just a weird, bitter taste, especially after such a hard-fought game the game before, to go out. And, yeah, we only lost by 9, but still it just didn't – it felt a little bit more than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, the effort was there. The hustle was there. These guys played harder than I'd seen them play in a long time, you know, dating back to last year. But it just – shots weren't falling. Sometimes it's not your day. And like you said, sometimes you got to do it a little differently. You got to try to get to the free throw line, get to the hoop. They did have a couple big guys, but it was obvious, I think, that the shots weren't falling that usually we hit. So, yeah, unfortunately, we did drop that game. Moving on from there, we were looking at our last game of the tournament, coming against the Arizona State Sun Devils, who also were 0-2. They had dropped games to Baylor and then Syracuse, I believe. Funny enough, Arizona State does have a couple friendly faces, or I guess you, if you want to say unfriendly. DJ Horn, who is a starting guard for them, played on Illinois State last season. And if anyone remembers, I actually identified him as one of the guys I thought would be on the Missouri Valley Conference all conference teams this year. And Lou, you correctly informed me that he doesn't play for Illinois State anymore. So that's DJ Horn. And then I believe one of our assistant coaches, former assistant coaches, Jermaine Kimbrough,
mm-hmm.
who was he only with us for 1 year or maybe two?
I think he was definitely 1 year. He might have been 2 years. I think he might have been, just because, again, with Brian Mullins leaving, he took an assistant with him, so he easily could have, yeah.
But he is an assistant coach at Arizona State, and so we were playing them for the 7th place finish out of 8. And I personally didn't watch the entire game live. Lou, I know you did. I did watch a lot of the highlights. This is where I'm going to plug one of my favorite YouTube channels of all time. It's called Matt Loves Ball. If you want to watch basketball highlights, he condenses them down into like 20 minutes, and you see every single made bucket. You miss some other stuff, which we'll get into in a little bit, but it's a great way to watch a lot of the games if you can't watch them live. Anyway, so from what I gathered from this game, it was obvious that Lucas was hitting early. He was making some shots. He made a couple threes. As well as a couple of free throws really early, and I was like, okay, cool, like this is his game, right? Like he's going to take it over. And unfortunately, he got into some foul trouble, and then he received a technical foul, which, again, is something we'll be talking about. But the first half, it was, I thought, well spread. The ball was spread around. I saw Marquise had a couple shots. I think Ahir hit a three in the first half. I saw Schwieger hit a three in the first half. Chris Knight had a couple really nice buckets in the first half. So it was kind of well spread. And then the second half was the Huddy show. And, man, did Huddy have a game for the ages. He finished with 26 points, which we will definitely be getting into. But otherwise, like, from what I could tell, I thought our defense was pretty good. We created 12 turnovers, which is a pretty good number. But our on-ball defense, I thought, was just great. They only shot 3 of 11 from 3. And just kind of following along as what I could, not watching the game, I saw when that technical foul happened, and I saw Lucas went to the bench, and I was like, oh, crap, like, what's going to happen? And honestly, from what I could tell, like, that's kind of when they built the lead up a little bit, and then they extended it toward the end of the second half. But great on our team for just not not worrying, not getting flustered, trusting the guys off the bench. Big game for Schwieger off the bench, which is really good to see. And just kind of trusting those other guys to fill in. So I liked what I saw. I think it was a great way to end the tournament. And winning by 18 points is nothing to scoff at when you're talking about a big, big school in Arizona State. So overall, great game. Lou, what do you got? The person who actually watched the game, please.
Yeah, definitely a game that I felt so – again, it was one of those that we actually, I guess, thought we could have lost if we just gave it to them, but we really didn't give it to them. We fought hard. We really competed well. It was back and forth early on. It wasn't really a slow-moving game or anything like that. But then all of a sudden, we were up a good bit. I think at one point, we were up 11 in the first half. And then it was like, oh, they are kind of coming back. Oh, they're getting close, and we only ended up leading by 6. So it was back and forth. Again, high scoring kind of first half, I think. Again, at the end, we gave up DJ Horn, made a 3, but then we got a bucket. So it was kind of an interesting first half. For me, it really gets interesting more in the second half. But the biggest thing I say in the first half is that here, Ugok wasn't afraid to shoot a 3, and they were giving it to him. And the commentators at least noted that. But we were giving DJ Horn the 3, so kind of a back and forth with nearly 3s. There was a point where they hit a 3, and then Keith came up and hit a 3. So almost nearly deja vu with just back and forth. But, again, the biggest point there has to be that ridiculous call to give Lucas 2 fouls right off about 27 seconds into the first half – or second half, sorry. And that moment there for me was like, uh-oh. I know I think we are up – maybe we are still only up 6, and I was like, okay – well, is this going to hurt us? What's going to happen here? Who's going to kind of step up? And I think just Jacob Hudson felt comfortable. And I don't think necessarily he stepped up because he's never stepped up before. I think he just got comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing, is that he felt comfortable and he had a great offensive night. The defense, I think we were forcing them to make hard shots. Do I think some of their shots just didn't fall? Yeah, I think there were times where I saw the corner man just wide open and he shot a 3 but missed it. But really, really offensively, I think is what fueled that second half more than anything. And a really great showing offensively, I have to say, in the second half. Really excited to see. And again, we held them. They shot a handful of 3s, under 30%. So I think that's the biggest thing. DJ Horn, yeah, 2 for 3 from 3. But I really do think we had an exceptional second half. Jacob alone had a great second half with, I think all his 3s came in the second half, if I'm correct. Ryan Swagger, I think he's the one who kind of stepped up minute-wise for Lucas, putting in 28 minutes to Lucas's 14, which made sense. He got a few points there at the end, I think. Not a lot in the first half, but that was something that, again, had a quiet whole tournament until there. So really interesting for me to see there. But overall, really excited. And something I'll talk about individually, but just really excited where some of these guys stepped up in certain areas, especially like Marquise Kennedy, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in that game. So, again, like you said, love winning 18 points, love getting that W. I think that's the biggest thing. I was very, very nervous that we'd end this 0-3 just because of the Auburn game. I was like, oh, these guys are going to hand it to Arizona State. And no, we stepped up. Maybe they got a good Thanksgiving dinner in them, and they said, hey, I want to get a W, and they did it, and they did it really well. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, why don't we actually just, while we go into the grades here, why don't we start with Lucas Williamson? Because, I mean, I don't know if there's a better place to start, and we can continue talking about that technical foul. So you showed it to me, and from my view, it just looked like he was kind of coming around a screen on defense, and he got tangled up a little bit, which happens from time to time. And the Auburn player, the Arizona State player, wouldn't let go of his arm, and likewise, Lucas kind of wouldn't let go either. And the Arizona State player just dragged him, like, I don't know, 10 feet, 12 feet, like, not on the ground, but, like, as they're running. And so Lucas gets not only a common foul, but a technical foul. They both, I think they both got technicals. Do you know, do they both get common fouls, too? Do you remember? Let's see.
The common fouls? They both got common fouls, sorry.
Did they both get technicals as well?
No, so that's the thing. So they both got common fouls, but Lucas, I believe, was the only one who got a tech.
Let's see. I'm looking at the box score here. Okay, so they did both get technicals, but Lucas was the only one who got – oh, no, they – what the heck? I don't even know. It does show that Lucas – they both got technicals, and it says foul on Lucas Williamson. So I think they – anyway, whatever. Lucas
– and honestly, Drew did have them review it. And it was such a weird thing on what to call it. To be honest with you, I think it was just a little dramatic that they even called it the way they did. But it ended up, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so Lucas was unfortunately could not really play much because then he's up to four fouls. But, you know, going for the whole tournament, Michigan State game, he was the best offensive player on the court, I think, in the second half, besides Malik Hall from Michigan State. He was definitely the best offensive player on our side. In the second half, he was getting to the hoop. He had some really great layups. He hit on his, he was 5 for 5 from free throw. He had 8 rebounds in that first game. Unfortunately, no assists, which is really interesting to see, but even though he didn't have assists, he was picking it up on the scoring end. So for me, that game was great. Moving on to the Auburn game for me, Lucas Williamson, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, steal. He did have 5 turnovers, which is, kind of rough. I didn't think he played bad, but he also kind of faded away, I thought, at times. Like, he was playing some typical Lucas Williamson defense. He did have to pick up some tough guys, including K.E. Johnson and I think Jabari Smith even at times. But for me, that second game, he just kind of faded away. And in the third game, yeah, I know he didn't play too much, but I think in his limited minutes, in his 14 minutes, I thought he shot the ball effectively. He was 3 for 4 from free throw, which is definitely not too bad. It seems like when he was on the bench in the second half, he was being a great teammate, coaching guys up, from what I could tell, and getting into the game. So for me, I don't know, man. I mean, I do expect a lot from Lucas all the time. So I'm going to give him a B-. I just thought I could have expected more from him, or I did expect more from him, rather. And although if he would have hit some sort of clutch shot against Michigan State, you know, that grade would have been bumped up. But for me, it's a B-. Lou, what do you got?
Yeah, I think Lucas overall, again, I think he brings something just to all the games, right? The biggest one for me was just the mentality of the Michigan State game. Again, I think there were so many different types of guys to guard there. Max Christie, Gabe Brown. He wasn't umping him probably too much, but I think those are some big names. Auburn game was just tough, right? I think, like you said, you just don't expect that from Lucas, but again, everyone's, I guess, entitled to a bad game. I just think it was tough because just 5 turnovers is a lot to begin with in a single game, and for it to be Lucas, now I can't pinpoint every turnover, so again, it might have been just bad timing or something like that, so I could look into that later when I rewatch the game, but I think the biggest thing is really that I'm hoping that even though he was taken out of the Arizona State game, that he really didn't want to lose focus or like kind of just I'm hoping he's a leader because he's a captain. So you hope that he's piping up the guys. I think I saw even something I want to note on the podcast here is during one of either Huddy's free throws or something, Luke is just smiling in the background, like absolutely just smiling to see Huddy, of course, put up these numbers. So things like that made me excited, even though he was on the bench. Again, nothing you can do on his point. I think it's almost the same with that ridiculous tech that was given to Keith during the Drake tournament game. Just guys showing their intensity, and I don't think there was anything wrong with it. The tie-up dragging of him go 10 feet was just a little bit ridiculous. They were both kind of being a little dramatic. I don't think anyone deserved a tech, if I'm being quite honestly. I don't see how that's tech-worthy. No one got injured. They were both just being young men, I think, in the heat of basketball. So give me each attack or give me each a foul, yeah. So Lucas, though, I think is the leader of this team. The one thing I'd like to see him do, just for me personally, is just drive a little bit more. I think something I was talking to you about is now that Huddy maybe feels a little bit more comfortable, I'd like to see some plays where the ball comes off Huddy to Lucas's hands, some of the back screened, backdoor cuts that Lucas is known to do and then up to the rim. Now, again, Huddy might not be the same passer that Cam was. Could maybe a here do it? I don't know. But one thing I'd like him to do is also be the facilitator a little bit more than Braden is. Braden's out there playing almost 40 minutes a game. He's quite close to all these games playing the whole game. And I just think it'd be nice to have him not bring up the ball all the time so he can get open for those shots. And also then also gives Lucas the ability to drive a little bit more by having the ball, because I love seeing him drive a lot. So Lucas, though, great effort and just great time to see him play. Again, I'd love to have seen him in the Arizona State game more, but nothing he could do there. I don't think that's on him.
So what's your grade for Lucas?
I would say a B plus, just okay. Because the Auburn game, and then, of course, he only played half of the first game of the Arizona State game. So, again, that's just tough to begin with, but definitely a B plus, because I think he does more on the bench than people realize.
For sure, yeah. Well, going from there, why don't we – I'm going to let you take this one and start off, but I think the next guy that everyone will probably want us to talk about is Jacob Hudson. Just talk about him, what you saw over the whole three games, and what's his grade for the tournament.
For Huddy, sir?
Yeah, for Huddy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So for Huddy, definitely I think he is still a B – I'm going to give him a B+. The offense showed up. And the reason why people might be like, oh, why not an A – was just on the defensive side, really. I think he knows what he's doing offensively. Just would like him to be a little bit stronger to the rim. Like, don't be afraid if you're going to get blocked. But also, man, you're 6'10", so maybe you shouldn't be getting blocked. I don't know. Find a way. There were times when even I was watching guys underneath the rim. He was underneath the rim at some points. It still got shot up. So just feeling more confident in that offensively. But defensively, just to be a little bit quicker to the spot, to be there with the hands. I think in the Valley, he can be really, really a big defender to, like, fight with. But I just think some of these guys were a little bit quicker. And now, do I say Chris Knight is the answer? No, I think Chris Knight's losing with the height. So on defensive, I think Huddy's still the answer. I just would like him to be more of a presence height-wise.
Gotcha. Do you want me to take it over on Huddy then?
Take it over. Yeah, no, that's – yeah.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of growth for Huddy in these 3 days. Even just in the first game, he got blocked real early, like I think twice, if not three times within the first like 4 or 5 minutes. And then he learned from it. He got deeper in the paint. He got into the body of Bingham, and he put up some nice hook shots. I even just seeing that, like, that impressed me, that he learned how to get around shot blockers within one game. Although he did get blocked late in the game, but, you know, whatever. You got to take your lumps sometimes. So in that first game, 9 points, 4 rebounds and assists. Not too bad. Would have liked to see maybe one more bucket, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And then going into Auburn, I thought he looked a little out of it for this game as well. You know, I kind of said that for Lucas, but at the end of the second half, or in the middle of it, I guess, he had some nice buckets for sure. He just didn't do too much. Like, he really, I thought he, like you mentioned, his defense against Kessler could have been better. He got out-rebounded. I know that's not always his duty. You know, it's kind of a team rebounding job, but only having one rebound, that's not good enough for Huddy. So, tough game two, and obviously game three, man. Just, like, the game of his life so far. I don't want to limit him, but 26 points, 5 rebounds, and a block. He was 3 for 3 from three, and he had another fourth, like, super long two-point jump shot. So if we joked before, we're going to give him 3.5 threes for this game. He also played 25 minutes, which I'm actually certain is a season high for him. And so for him to play, he picked up some of those minutes where Lucas was not able to come out. I know they don't play the same position, but, you know, sometimes if we were going to go small – you'd have someone come in and, like, Ugwak or Tate Hall play in the center. So he definitely picked up some time there. He was super efficient from the floor, 9 of 13. He was 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He looked great. And you kind of touched on it, but he looked excellent, I would say, against smaller defenders. And, you know, I would say 90% of the time or 85% of the time in the Missouri Valley Conference, he's going to have a smaller guy on him. You know, there's obviously Gage Prim. And I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but there's not too many guys taller than him or bigger than him in the Valley. And I'm really encouraged by what I saw against smaller defenders. He was able to roll and use his quickness and get to the bucket and finish without having to bring the ball down. But he also showed he's got a post move, and he showed a counter to the post move too, which I talked about with Cam back in the day. But any good post player, you really need two things. You need a move and a counter move so that you can just oscillate between the two and keep people guessing. And I saw there was one where he's got his hook shot, which is great. And he did one where he faked like he was going right, he went left, and he finished left-handed around the bucket. And it was just really pretty. So for me, I know you said B+, but I'm going B+ as well. I would have loved to see just a little bit more consistency or a little bit better defense against Kessler from Auburn. Those were kind of the two things where it really just left me wanting more. Let's jump to Ugwuok now, who for me was a little bit of a disappointment. Do you have any last thoughts on Huddy?
No, absolutely not. No, great overall growth.
Cool. Going to Ugwuok now. I thought he came out and played pretty good against Michigan State. There were some times in the first half where I really liked what I saw, like him driving to the hoop. He got a couple nice layups. He finished with 7 points and 7 rebounds and assists in the first game, and I thought at times he looked like the most athletic player on the court. And he played some great defense. He played, even though Malik Hall didn't miss a shot, Ugwuok was on him a bunch and played really good defense. There was a couple times I remember specifically saying, oh, that's great defense, I don't care if the ball goes in, and then the ball went in, and then I cared. So good game one. Game two, don't really know how else to say it. Probably one of Ugwuok's worst games as a Rambler, to be honest. 1 point, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 turnovers. Thing is, like, he always plays great defense. We know that. He's had a super tough matchup, but he can't turn the ball over. And he did 4 times and didn't make up for it. So that's just a pretty bad game for me. And then the last game, he did have some really nice threes, which is great to see. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, three assists, and a steal. For me, just kind of an okay game. I don't think he was asked to do too much scoring because we had some other guys hitting shots, and especially Huddy. But for me, just kind of a average Ugwuok game. So I'm going to be a little tough on this one. I'm going to give him a C-. I really just thought he needs to play better. We've talked about it. We've seen him do it. And that's, I think, you know, I'm a little spoiled now because I've seen him have these double-digit scoring games where you don't even really realize he's gone out and made 2 threes and 3 layups and 3 free throws, and all of a sudden he's got 13 points, and that's a great game. But just, I know it doesn't come down to scoring, but we needed someone else to be able to work inside, get offensive rebounds, and finish at the hoop, and he couldn't do that consistently this weekend. So, Lou, what did you think of Ugwuok's game this past week?
Yeah, Ugwuok's game was especially interesting just because coming off, I think he was the leading scorer of the team going into the tournament. I think the biggest thing for me was just a little bit of a letdown defensively, especially in the Michigan State game, just for the fact that I do think there were times where people, not just him, I just think there were times where, like, for example, we left Malik Hall open quite a bit, or just some other guys. Gabe Brown or Walker. So it was just like there were some things that just bothered me there. With Ahir, the Auburn game was just a really weird and bad game. 20 minutes and not really anything. I know he got a point, but it's just weird to talk about. 4 turnovers is not great. And to be honest with you, then in the Arizona State game, I think it was just nearly just kind of a 2 for 4 from 3, okay, they got us 6 points, 3 assists, which is really great, and 4 rebounds, so I think that's where, like, kind of Huddy just took over, so that makes it natural just that Ahir may not have the points. I think it was just weird for me. I was more just shocked that the Auburn game, I knew the Michigan State game, we wouldn't be looking for maybe the same scoring we've been doing recently. That game, I figured we'd be doing something different. Auburn, I thought he would have stepped up a little bit. And then the Arizona State game, I didn't feel like he let me down, nor did he bring up my spirits too high. But what I do say is, though, I think there were times where I would have liked him to crash the board more, would have liked him to grab a few more rebounds. There were times where Marquise Kennedy got up there with his hops and grabbed a putback rebound. So I just would hope that would be a little bit more from him. So just again, it was just tough to see that Auburn game with 1 point. I don't mind the Arizona State game just chucking, not chucking the threes, but putting up the threes and not being afraid to put it up. And then getting himself involved for 3 assists. So that's something that's interesting there. But overall, I'd say, I'd give him a B minus, just cause I know there's more stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheets on defensively. And I think, he's definitely someone who's there in the presence. But just a little definitely tough to come out, into the tournament when he's the leading scorer going into the tournament. But again, maybe they were defending him for that purpose. So
true. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I think Ubrock's got some stuff to work on, and I think he'll, he'll come back and be better than ever. So, next guy, if you just kind of want to start it here, we can talk about Braden Norris.
Yeah, Braden, I don't think this kid likes to come off the court at all. Someone who's just really, kind of not afraid to just be part of every single minute we play. Tough Michigan State game, not gonna lie. I just 3 of 11. It's not too hot, from field goal, 3 of 7 from three. Yeah, it was just a little, again, I have no problem with some of the shots. Cause again, he's trying to make something, right? He didn't get to the free throw line. So I don't know if that was on him or the refs. I think there were some times where calls just weren't going, our way. But overall, just excited. Again, only 2 turnovers, which was really great to see. 3 steals, though. That was the biggest thing, I think. Braden Norris, I don't know why, but I don't really think of him as the guy who's stealing. But he's been getting really on top of the ball, and he's really kind of making himself known in, on defense. There were times where he wasn't afraid to switch. Well, again, I'll take credit and not take credit for it, but I don't know if he wanted to be switched onto the bigger man. But he wasn't backing down, and I think that just talks about what his minutes, that he doesn't really back down, which I really like to see. Auburn game, just, again, the Auburn game is going to be interesting for everyone. A 3 of 9 from field goal. This time he put up 10 points, but 3 turnovers, only 1 assist. I really do think our assists kind of dictate how we flow. I've noticed, again, you saw Rothstein talk about our high assist. We talked about it last week. But I'm not talking about just the team, but Braden really, I think, gets the flow from also just being the facilitator on offense. And I think with him not being able to facilitate, didn't really keep the flow too well. And again, though, I'll talk about it. I don't want him to bring up the ball all the time. I want him to be able to cut through, then get off a pick, back screen pick, and then just be there in the corner for the three or something like that. So there are things there in the Auburn game that I really – felt like we were trying to force our way to run the offense through Norris. And that was just something to insight to see. Then with Arizona State, I think the biggest thing, had to be, that just not much offense at all, but 7 assists. So he was really pushing the ball and facilitating. And I think that's what got us to just be everyone kind of scoring, from Chris Knight scoring with 8, Marcus Kennedy scoring with 8, Ahir with 6, and of course, Jacob Hudson with 26. So I think having 7 assists, that to me is a huge stat. But then as well, 31 minutes. So I love that Braden doesn't really leave the floor, because he just shows me his kind of his dedication to wanting to play. Overall, I'm going to give him a B+, just because, again, I think he had a stellar game as a facilitator. And I think there are things definitely that could be worked on. But again, some of that stuff is just the team stuff that we need to be worked on. So that's really the gist of it, but excited to see him play again. I just love that he plays more than 30. I just hope that doesn't tire him out toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I think he had a pretty good tournament as well. Like you mentioned, he didn't back down when he had to come in against the bigger guys or on pick and rolls and stuff. I thought his game against Michigan State was pretty good. I thought he scored when he needed to. He did have a few shots that I wish would have gone down, but I could say that about literally everyone. And 4 assists and 3 steals is nothing to scoff at, against a big team like Michigan State. So I like that game. Auburn, I think he played excellent in the first half. Like, that was probably his best half of basketball, actually. Like, he sunk some really great threes. I remember his 1 assist sticks in my head, which is so crazy, because it was just like a beautiful pass to Marquise Kennedy. It wasn't a dunk, but I think it was a layup. So that's super strange. Because I thought he would have had more than that. But you know how assists work. He probably had a bunch of passes that should have been made shots and just couldn't hit the shots. In Arizona State, like you said, Lou, 7 assists. I mean, even though he's not scoring, he's setting up guys. He set up Huddy a bunch. And I think he had a couple nice, passes for some of the threes. I think one to Uguak, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe one to Schwieger as well. I liked what I saw out of him. If he's not going to be making shots, he should be passing to, assist or pass to, score. You know, maybe it's a pass to a guy who, passes to another person who scores. You know what I mean? Running the offense, facilitating. And I thought at times he facilitated really well, especially against Michigan State and Arizona State. So, I agree with you. I think he's a B+. Probably for me, the closest guy to an A-, actually, if a couple more shots go down for him. So, the last starter we got to talk about is Marquise Kennedy. He had a roller coaster of a weekend. First game was probably one of the worst games I've seen him play, actually, as a Rambler. Didn't play much, only 14 minutes, but even when he was in, just didn't really look super effective. He did have a couple steals, which is nice. But he only had 2 points, both on free throws. And just really not much else there in that first game. He was taken out actually a lot for size, cause Michigan State was so big. At the Auburn game, completely different story. Dude must have slept super well or, I don't know, must have had his Wheaties that morning because he was the bright spot for us offensively, and kind of all around in this game. He had 13 points, only had one turnover, which is huge. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He was efficient. He was 6 for 8 from the field, 1 for 2 from three. I remember his three was really pretty. It was just, he perfectly stepped in and just nailed it. Kennedy in that game, excellent, and also pretty good in the Arizona State game as well. He had one of his classic fill up the box score type lines, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, only 1 turnover as well, which is great. And, efficient from the floor, 3 of 5, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. And he played 29 minutes, which is, kind of more than he usually does, or at least more than he has this season. So, I assume he played some pretty great defense. You know, like I said, I didn't see the whole game, but played some pretty good defense. So for me, it's another B+. If he just would have played even halfway decent in that Michigan State game, he would have had an A- easily. So, I like what I see. I like that he got better as the tournament went on. Lou, what do you got on Marquise Kennedy?
Yeah, my favorite part, and again, it might be, I'm not saying it's, I'm happy that Keith Clemens is injured or anything. I want that clear, but I'm really loving that Kennedy started all 3 games. I think that's a huge step, for our team in the rotation, but a huge step for him. And again, just remember, yeah, he's been here for 2 years, but he is technically a sophomore. So I really do like seeing that. I think the biggest thing for me, the Michigan State game. I don't know what was going on, either just missed 2 shots and just didn't really get much going. Again, I only played 14 minutes, so maybe it just wasn't his game. Tate kind of filled in there, but then Tate went 1 for 8. So just a weird spot there. But then, like you said, kind of growth overall. Yeah, he was maybe the only person who really, as much as I can think of, scored late in the second half as much, right? 6 for 8 is great to see. That was really great. And the Auburn game, just tough. And the Arizona State game, yeah. Really interesting and really excited to see that he's filling up those stats. I'm just thinking that this game, it might not have been the growth that, like, Huddy saw of 26 points, but I really do think that, like, come Wednesday, when we play Indiana State, I do think Marquise Kennedy is ready to elevate himself as, like, a Valley all Valley guard, right? I really do think as he starts and keeps starting these games, he can work. And what I actually think about, to be honest with you, and nothing against his three, I would like him to bring up the ball way more than Braden, and have him facilitate. Now get the ball to Braden. Braden's great because he knows how to pass it and where to pass it to. But I think the fact that Kennedy can just blow by a guy, he did that multiple times in the tournament when he got to the rim, and he can get to the rim. And then one last thing I loved about him was, and the one thing I think the commentators might have said correctly, was that there was a play where Huddy, again, wasn't strong enough to grab the rebound right away, but he put it back up. And then Kennedy just comes out of nowhere and just grabs the board and puts it right back up. Mm-hmm. And if that really doesn't dictate you, that's Marquise Kennedy game, that he's there to he's there to kind of clean up anything, but also he can just elevate himself to the next level and just get a score for you. So really excited overall for the growth. Maybe wanted to see definitely more from Marquise Kennedy. I'm definitely going to go with a B for Marquise Kennedy just because I was excited maybe there at the end with the other stat lines in the Auburn game. But definitely there's room to grow, and I think he can definitely have a high ceiling.
So going from the starting lineup now to the bench, a couple guys just to get off right at the bat that I'm going to give an NA, right, like not assignable. As St. Thomas and Tom Welch, both guys, it shows that St. got in the first game. I don't think he did. And Tom only played 10 minutes in the first game and then won against Arizona State. So both those guys, just not enough there to talk about. But the first guy, just kind of quickly, Big Bro, a.k.a. Ryan Schwieger. In the first game, 5 points, 2 rebounds, a steal. In the second game, 4 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a block. And then in the last game, he did have 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. For me, it just comes down to he wasn't that effective. I'm going to be a little blunt here. Like, he just didn't make shots when he needed to. And a lot of them were open. And especially in the second game against Auburn, he played 24 minutes and he was 0 for 2 from 3 and 2 for 5 from field goal. Like, he just needs, he's a scorer. That's what he's good at. Not to say he's not good at other things, but that's what he's a bucket and he's got to go find himself buckets. So, for me, it just wasn't good enough. And I'm going to give him a C, for the weekend. Lou, what do you got for Big Bro?
Big Bro, I'm going to give him right off the bat just like a C as well. Again, I don't know. Maybe it was just like, oh, we saw him put up 22 points, and you're like, okay, yeah, we're going to see that. And I wasn't expecting – I knew I wasn't expecting to see 15 or even 15-plus points, right? I was expecting just to show some type of consistency, and I think that was the biggest thing for me. I don't even know if I'm comfortable with his shot yet. I don't know if that's just me, and I'm not saying he's not, he doesn't feel comfortable, right? It was just me personally. I don't know if I'm there for a shot yet again. Michigan State game though, maybe hard to make an impact right away coming off the bench, only 8 minutes, 1 of 2 from 3. So that's really, I don't know why he didn't play. Maybe again, defensively, I don't know if he's a liability, but I don't know if he's also able to be a lockdown defender, right? So maybe that could be it. I would definitely want to pay attention more to when he's in on defensive side, because I think the last two games before the tournament, I was just in awe of the offensive scoring, right? So then you get to the Auburn game, played a lot of minutes with the 24, but 0 for 2 from 3, and then like 3 fouls. He loves to kind of reach in a little bit, so it's just something we've noticed in the beginning. So, I don't know, Arizona State, he put up, what, second most points on the team. I think he went 3 of 6 from 3, and then he went 4 of 9, so, and with 5 rebounds, okay. So, yeah, it was that game, okay. I think some of those points were just like, I don't think of them as 11-point outing. I think of it like, okay, you got a good bucket, like, congrats kind of thing. So, biggest thing takeaway from me and why is the C is, what can we do on the defensive side? Not a lot of strong backing down like we saw in some of the two other games, right? With the UIC game and stuff like that. So maybe I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Again, it relies on that three, which is totally fine. I don't know what it is. I'm just not too comfortable.
It's a line drive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Moving on, next guy. Let's talk about Chris Knight. This is a guy that's, like, opposite of Ryan Schwieger for me. Like, did not have high expectations. Very much a role player. I think his role is extremely defined. It's the backup center or big guy, you know, big man minutes. And honestly, like, for me, I thought he did okay. Obviously, his best game was the last game, as was a lot of other guys. I thought he played pretty good minutes against the Michigan State game. Like, I don't really remember him. He didn't turn the ball over. He had 5 points and two rebounds and a steal. He's just one of those guys that, like, I'm not expecting too much. And if he's going to contribute a few buckets here and there, like, that's great. Second game, tough for everyone. He did have 15 minutes and just kind of didn't do too much with it and did have two turnovers. So for me, it's a B for Chris Knight. It does help that he had a pretty good last game, especially scoring the ball. So for Chris Knight, for me, it's a B. How about yourself?
Yeah, for me, I think it was just definitely, like you said, he's playing those, like, big man minutes. It's really interesting, right? So Chris Knight is somewhat of, I don't know, Pandora's box for me. Arizona State went 3 for 3, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. But, like, he only grabbed 2 rebounds, and Ryan Swagger grabbed more rebounds, Marquise Kenny. There are just times where I feel like he's not going to the ball. There are definitely times where I, to be honest with you, I apologize, I forget what exact game, and I know the clip, but I can't think of the opponent. But, like, Braden Norris fought him for a rebound, and Braden got the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's, like, the lackluster of the, like, grabbing a board, but I really just wanted him to be a little bit more aggressive with grabbing the boards. Now, he wasn't aggressive. He is aggressive, like, when he reaches, and we've seen him get fouled and foul out. But I would like just a little bit more on the rebounding side. I think that's something big for me. But, again, offensively, he brings a different level for a big man that we can get to. He's definitely quick and has that possibility. Funny enough, we haven't seen the three from him as far as I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see that. But really, really interesting, interested that we saw kind of a quick step from him this week.
Yeah. Moving on, other end of the spectrum from a big man to a point guard in Keith Clemens, or a guard, shooting guard. Similar to Chris Knight, I didn't have any real expectations for Keith Clemens coming in. I didn't know if he was going to play 5 minutes here, like maybe a lot in the first game and then not in the second because of his injury. But for me, he honestly surpassed my expectations for him, at least for now, right? In like this early part of the season, he played 15 minutes, 15 in the first, 15 in the second, and I think, yeah, 17 in the third game, which is great to see. He did make a three in each game. He made 2 in the first game against Michigan State. He did have a couple turnovers against Michigan State, which I think was kind of difficult, and that kind of affects how, at least how he did for me. And in the second game, he was 1 for 5 from 3, and a couple of those I remember were very good shots that just couldn't go down. And then the last game, he did have a rebound and an assist. And he played for Lucas a bit because Lucas was out with fouls. For me, it's probably a B. I didn't know what to expect from him. So actually, you know, B plus. I think hitting a three in every game is pretty consistent. We're going to need someone off the bench like that. So I'm going to give him a B plus and see where he goes from there this season. What did you think, Lou?
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Because, like, the big thing for me around him is just his ability to grab boards, right? And it is interesting with him coming off the bench, just what he does. So, I don't know, coming off the bench is always interesting. But, like, I want him to just grab boards to just run the offense. But hitting a three in every game is great. Again, he's coming back from injury. So, just the Auburn game was weird. 1 for 5 from 3. I don't know. That was all his shots, right? So I don't know if he was trying to force something. So I don't know. I would just like him to be kind of a great off the bench grab, not really grab the boards, meaning, sorry, like fighting off a big man. I guess just like,
they're like grabbing outlets.
Yeah, grabbing the outlets, kind of just grabbing the ball and just be like, hey, let's kind of reset. Our press break just still scares me. But I don't mind him bringing out the ball. So more just the outlets and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's fun to see him hit a three, definitely. Again, the Michigan State game was great because it was like 2 threes, and we were like, oh, my God. Auburn was just kind of a weird sour taste to be like, oh, 1 for 5. Like, what are we doing here, right? So, but again, he's battling injury, I think. Really interesting to see that he can come off the bench. I think that's the biggest thing that we get, right? But just happy that we can have another guy to come off the bench, because I do think that's going to be vital when we come the rest of the way through their non-com and then our first conference game.
Yeah, I think just another little add on here. Only 2 turnovers over the 3 games, which is good, and that's what we need from him. Got to keep those turnovers down if you're coming off the bench and you're a scorer. So, like to see that. Did you give him a grade? I don't know if I missed that.
No, I think, to be honest with you, the grade I'll give is, let's say, a B minus. Yeah, I just because it was like, okay, like decent, but not like too strong of a showing that I would kind of hope for.
I get that, yeah. Last guy we have to talk about here is Tate Hall. Unfortunately, I think what everyone's going to remember about Tate Hall from this tournament is the last possession, or I guess second to last, you could say, of ours where he got blocked and then got his own rebound and went, or maybe he missed a shot, whatever. Got a rebound, went back up, and got blocked again. And he should have and could have pulled the ball out to reset the shot clock, and we could hold for last shot. I think what some people are going to forget is how crucial he was in that first half against Michigan State. He was diving all over the floor and getting rebounds and making some great passes. It doesn't show up in the points. He only had 2 points, and he was only 1 for 8 from the field. But he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals. I mean, like, this guy pretty much single-handedly fought and clawed our way back into this game in the first half after we were so ice cold from the field. So, yes, he made a wrong decision. But for me, his game that day was way more than that. And I wish he could have made a couple more shots. But like I said, I could say that for everyone. In the second game, he honestly was another shining star in this game. He had 7 points, which, yeah, not a ton. 5 rebounds and a block. But he was efficient. He made his 2 for 3 from the field. He made 1 of 2 threes. He was 2 of 2 from the free throw line. And he did have 2 turnovers. But he did so in 18 minutes, which I think was efficient. And then the last game, I don't know if maybe Lou, you have a little bit of insight on this about why he didn't play more than 12 minutes. But he did have 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and only 1 turnover. So, I'm going to give him a B plus. I understand that, like, people are probably upset at him. People probably don't think he scored and that he needs to score, but that's not what he is for me. And I just can't get over how, like, effective he was in that first half against Michigan State, and also how he made some shot, or at least a couple shots in the Auburn game that kept us in it for a while. So I'm going to give him a B plus. I liked the way he played. Lou, yeah. do you remember why he didn't play that much in this second game or third game?
No, and maybe it was. To be honest, no, I don't have an answer. Not like anyone was besides Huddy going off. But I think maybe the biggest thing was that Lucas was going to stay in there. But even then, when Lucas came out, he really didn't, as far as I can remember, played much. But the biggest thing for me with Tate is I 100% agree. I think I love stats, but stats don't always tell the story of a player and the impact they make. Tate Hall, we saw it last year in the conference tournament, and we saw it last year, mainly the conference tournament. And it's just like the man is scrappy. I think we said scrappy maybe 4 million times for the man himself of Tate Hall. Just the biggest thing is, yeah, I think it's tough. If we go to that last play, okay, yeah, if we relied on one play, yeah, one play gets us the win maybe, right? But if we also had 3 other balls, shots fall in, then we would have won the game, right? So I'm not too upset now. Again, in the moment, probably I think I definitely shot off a text saying, why did he not pass out the shot or the rebound for the hold the time? But the biggest thing for me, though, is I want him – I don't mind him taking the threes. I just wish more fell. It's really a tough one with me and Tate. I love what he does outside of scoring. I love the rebound. His rebounding makes a huge difference, right? He is helping us play strong and big when we're not putting a big man rotation out there. But it is tough from a guy who, I don't know, maybe was so consistent when he started. I just would love some more threes, and I'm not upset with him shooting a three. I just but shit, I wish more went in. Like, it's just one of those tough ones. It's like, yeah, it's really tough. I'm actually going to give him a B, leaning toward a B minus just for like, no, I'm going to give him a B because he does those rebounds really add up for me, and those kind of the steals really do. It was just tough that nothing was really hitting from him. And it's not who he is. I just think it was just a tough tournament offensively. But there are things he did outside the box score that just don't show up in the box score, and I think that is why he's still up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have to say, just kind of overall, like, I reminded myself about the cold starts we had in both the Michigan State and Auburn game. And just, like, good way, like, props to the team for not freaking out. Very easily could have been, like, instead of 9-0 and 7-0, could have easily turned into 21-4 and 20-3, you know, like, those are the type of games that, like, some of these teams, they can do. Like, these big teams like State, Michigan State, and Auburn, they just shut you down defensively, and it's game over, right? They control the game, and that's not what happened. So
yeah, I think the biggest thing, and unless, Buck, did you have any really other player ones to go over?
No, nothing else.
Okay, I think the biggest in team summary for me is both our losses, of our only two losses so far the rest of the year, are of top 25 teams.
Yep.
And I think they will predominantly, again, they're probably going to get banged up with their conference, but their conferences are good conferences. But with Jabari Smith being a easily top 10, potentially top 5 draft pick, potentially, and then Michigan State just being Michigan State with Gabe Brown and Max Christie and Brigham and Tom Izzo, and of course, Ruth Pearl at Auburn. But these teams are not teams that we shouldn't hang our head on. Again, margin of victory, or margin of loss, 2, and then what, 9? So, an average of 5.5 or 6, if you want to say, if you want to round up. So not bad at all for losing to 2 top 25 teams. So again, I think that's why you saw today. We got 3 votes, more than we received in the last. Like, that's the funny thing. We received more votes, correct me, right, Buck?
Yep,
in
you're
this
right.
Poll than we've seen in the last few AP polls, and we lost 2 games and we only won 1. But that's the thing. It's like, it's okay because we played that hard. We didn't give up. And that's the thing I think you were saying there. It's like, we could have been ugly, right? But then the fact is that when we won really pretty, I think, with 17 points and then 17 spread. And then, of course, with Jacob Hudson really dominating. So overall, I think a great tournament. Would love to have seen a 2-1 and not 1-2. But again, it could have been a lot worse with 0-3. But the way I think we lost some of the games, of course, Michigan State, how many times I see that highlight dunk on Twitter and everywhere the day of. And that's what happens when you play a team like Tom Izzo. He knows what he's doing. So overall excited, and overall just really excited for the rest of non-con. I think, yes, we have conference. Sorry, apologies, Indiana State. But, hey, we got DePaul. We got a lot of things coming up. So really excited for what we got from non-con.
Yeah, we have a couple big games coming up. And then we get hopefully an easy one, and then a couple more tough ones. We got Vanderbilt. We have Davidson later in the season. Or in the non-con season. I think this is great for the team, honestly. Like, having full fights of games, all 3 games, I think will do this team a lot of good. There's some weird flukes I think we saw in these games as well, including refereeing, the floors being not so great, and just shots that go in that didn't, that usually go in and they didn't. So, I think they're going to learn a lot from this. I think the rotation is kind of getting a little flushed out, especially we didn't see Tom Welch play all that much. We didn't see St. Thomas play all that much. If you take what we saw from that Arizona State game, it's a 9-man rotation with Schwieger, Chris Knight, Keith Clemens, and Tate Hall coming off the bench. So that's something I think we're going to keep our eyes on. But like Lou said, we do have a game on Wednesday against Indiana State, and then Saturday we're playing at DePaul. Make sure to stay tuned for the podcast next week. I'm sure it'll be kind of extra fun and extra special with a couple rivalry games. So, I don't know, Lou, you got anything else? Anything you want to tell the people?
Just excited for this week to get a conference in game in, but I think we're all looking forward to that December 4th game. I hope to see a lot of you there, because I know we're going, and we're excited to tear up that weird located arena in Wintrust Arena from their campus.
Yes, we are. That is for sure. I want to hear those chants loud, and I want to drown out those DePaul fans, all 7 of them that come out to the stadium. So I think that's going to do it here from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. So thank you all for listening, and always remember, never forget, go Blurs.